Welcome back to the bonus episode of the EMJ podcast. My name is Dr. Hannah Moyer, Senior Medical Writer and Moderator for EMJ. In this episode, we are contributing to a series entitled The Current Status of Anti-TNF Therapies for Inflammatory Bowel Disease, which has been supported by Viatris. I'm welcoming back our two experts in the field of gastroenterology, Dr. Yamila Zabana from the University Muta de Terrassa in Spain, and we're also joined by Shubha Bhatt, a clinical pharmacist from the Cleveland Clinic in Ohio, USA. Thank you again for joining me. In this episode, we are going to discuss the current guidance on the use of combination therapies. So, Yamila, you previously mentioned in another episode about the use of combination therapy for inflammatory bowel disease with anti-TNFs. What is that current perspective? Could you just give us a recap on the perspectives of anti-TNF combination therapy and what role they have for IBD?
Yes, Hannah, we consider as combination therapy the concomitant use of thioprenes or methotrexate with anti-TNFs or any biologic. So their use is mainly to protect the anti-TNF drug because we all know that anti-TNFs may cause immunogenicity. So in order to prevent that, we use this combination therapy. But we have to bear in mind that they should also have a synergic effect. So what we know now is that the first year, this is coming from the SONIC trial, is very crucial for the immunogenicity-related side effects of the drug. So we have more data suggesting that this is the important months to continue on under combotherapy. However, in Europe and especially in Spain, we tend to use longer periods of combination therapy, and we are trying to disintensify the treatment by removing the thioprene nowadays. So, however, we know that this combination therapy now, as I mentioned in an early episode, should be used maximum 12 months in order to prevent the side effects of a strong immunosuppressant therapy, like the risk of infection, so we can use the prevention of immunogenicity, lowering the risk of side effects due to a very strong immunosuppressant therapy. So this is it. It only should be 6-12 months. And talking about methotrexate as a combination therapy, we use it even in ulcerative colitis, that we know that methotrexate should not be used as a monotherapy because it's not effective. But here we are not using this as a main drug, but as the protector of anti-TNFs. So.
And if I could come to you, Shubha, when would you consider combination therapy, and are there any benefits or risks of when to consider using a combination approach over monotherapy?
So given the role of, again, what Yamila had mentioned, so given the role of immunomodulated therapy, we're really trying to reduce the immunogenicity risk, again, which is highest in that first year when you start the anti-TNF. And so we ideally like to start the immunomodulator along with the anti-TNF at the same time. This approach can really help patients set up for success, and they can get a longer time span on the treatment as the immunogenicity risk becomes minimized. It is also interesting that I think that with the immunomodulators, you can get that additional immunosuppressive effect too, but that does take several months to take effect, so that is not the primary reason to be using that medication. I would like to highlight that even though we're talking a lot about the risk for serious and opportunistic infections with the combination therapy, there have been several studies, like the PANTS study, SONIC, you see success in the TREAT registry, and they find that in that first year, there's not necessarily like an increased risk of infection, but the actual risk factors for infection might be more so the disease activity and corticosteroid use. So again, there's that emphasis that we primarily want to use it for that first year, and then after that, try to tailor off the immunomodulator. And then we also, as Emily had mentioned, that there's also a concern for malignancy. And so just to put it into context, we say that the risk of malignancy on anti-TNF is about 4 in 10,000. and that can go up to 6 and 10 thousand when you go on the combination. So may put patients at a little bit of the ease, because you can argue that's not a significantly much higher number. But then I always have the patients in clinic that could say, well, I could beat at 1 and 6, so then what? So definitely a conversation to be had with patients. But as a result, we do emphasize to use the short-term duration, again, 6 to 12 months, to try to minimize these risks. Monotherapy is always an interesting question. We definitely would love to use or favor that approach, but I think that comes hand in hand with therapeutic drug monitoring. And again, no surprise, we do have a lot of issues from like a coverage standpoint as to whether therapeutic drug monitoring will be covered for our patient. But then there's more so the controversial effects with it, because we're finding that some studies are coming out saying that proactive therapeutic drug monitoring doesn't necessarily result in improved outcomes. So then it goes back to the cost component of, well, why should we cover for this test, or why should we cover for the frequency of these testing if it's not necessarily resulting in better outcomes? So I don't think we're necessarily there to be just comfortable just doing monotherapy without any kind of monitoring or follow-up, especially from a therapeutic drug monitoring. But we're struggling with the utility of it and the coverage of it here in states.
Is there an effect of the anti-TNF interacting with other medications? Do we see that?
So the good news with anti-TNF in general, that we actually don't have to worry about many drug or food-related interactions with this type of medicine. And I think I'm interested, Jamil, to hear what your practice has been so far, but dual biologic use is becoming another hot topic in inflammatory bowel disease, and we could probably spend some more time talking about this. But the reason why I bring up the combination of another biologic or small molecule in conjunction with anti-TNF is that it's generally not recommended, just given for the concern for increased immunosuppressive effects. The one interesting thing is that we actually do have data from a randomized clinical trial that actually looked at the safety and tolerability of infliximab and natalizumab used together. But this is not a treatment approach that we'll actually probably see in practice or utilize, because natalizumab has actually kind of fallen a little out of favor. It has a really big risk for John Cunningham virus and progressive multifocal leukoencephalopathy. So for that reason, we're actually not using natalizumab at all anymore. But I can say that in our practice, we actually haven't been doing a ton of combination with infliximab or adalimumab, just given the concern for even more immunosuppressive effects. So, Emily, what has been your experience with that as well?
I mean, we are now tending to use combination of biologics, and it's not the partner with the anti-TNFs is not the option, the preferred option. But sometimes, especially if they have extraintestinal manifestation, rheumatologic extraintestinal manifestation, infliximab may be one of the combo. So we try to pair ustekinumab with vedolizumab, or ustekinumab with a JAK inhibitor, or vedolizumab with a JAK inhibitor. But I was reading case reports of patients using 3 advanced therapies in anti-in inflammatory bowel disease. And we have to bear in mind that we are using combination therapy with different drugs, as the patient should be in under steroids, methotrexate, or infliximab at the same time. So I don't think we have to be afraid about combining things, because actually we are combining for ages. But what we should try to see is to tailor a little bit more the detail of what are we blocking. So this is something that we're getting to know. And I think that the future will be combination of advanced therapies for sure.
Yeah, I agree with that comment about the combination of the way. I think, like, again, what we know about the pathophysiology of IBD is very complex. And it's kind of like, it's interesting that we're only practicing with really targeting one part of the inflammatory pathway and like expecting a substantial response or like a substantial, substantial outcome for that. So very excited to see how the path will evolve. I really do think that there's a role for combination. And I know we're going to talk a little bit about like some of the difficult to treat population. And I think we'll touch upon that a little bit more. But yeah, there's definitely going to be a role for combination. And as of right now, anti-TNF, that's kind of like the only big interaction like on the label. But other than that, it's a great medicine to use. You don't necessarily have to worry too much about any drug or food interactions with it.
Mm-hmm. I think you both end on a nice point there that demonstrates that each patient has their each unique characteristics and needs, and we should bear in mind that there are multiple pathways that affect their clinical conditions. And so perhaps the benefit of combination therapies are to ensure we are considering all of the needs of a patient and all the different clinical pathways that are taking place within the body. So I think that's a really useful take home. But that's all we have time for today. So thank you to Dr. Yamila Zabana and Shubha Bhatt for joining us and sharing their insights on this series, The Current Status of Anti-TNF Therapies for Inflammatory Bowel Disease. This is one of a number of episodes in this series. So if you enjoyed it, you can access the others by visiting emjreviews.com or visiting your preferred podcast platform. And I look forward to you joining us again. So until next time, take care and goodbye for now.